he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Reading up, it literally means, please deliver us. Isn't that interesting? So, as we read today, John chapter 12, verse 17. Let's read the first little bit. It says, now the crowd was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Look how the whole world has gone after him. It says here that many people went out to meet Jesus because of this miracle. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. And the religious of the leaders of the day said, look, the whole world is following him. What a statement that is. Have you read about what Jesus has done? Have you read for yourself what Jesus has done? Are you going out of your way to meet him? Perhaps you're looking today for a miracle in your own life. We've heard about a good testimony this morning, haven't we, of a miracle, what Jesus has done, how Jesus helps us. Are you following him closely? We talk about following people today, don't we, on social media. But this is different, isn't it? This is following someone, following Jesus. Or do you despise him? Sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it? Perhaps you're more like the religious leaders. Jesus is a concern, a threat, maybe to that status quo. If you get too close, he might just rock your boat. So we read on, verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who came up to worship at the festival, and they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. And sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. And Philip went to tell Andrew. And Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. So there were some Greek people there too. That's interesting, isn't it? And they said, sir, we'd like to see Jesus. They were very polite Greek people. And I'm guessing that's why you're here today, isn't it? This is why you've come to this service today, because you want to, like me, you're curious. You want to meet Jesus. You really want to see Jesus. And the good news is that they did. They did. And so we read on. This is getting into the heart of the passage now. Verse 23. Jesus said, I hit myself. Jesus replied, no. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. But now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And the crowd was there and heard that it said it had thundered. And others said that an angel had spoken to him. And Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not for mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. So there's quite a bit in that passage, isn't there? That he says, the time has come. He says, the time has come for the Son of Man to receive his glory. It's almost out of nowhere. These Greeks were coming to meet Jesus. And Jesus makes this wonderful statement, the time has come for the Son of Man to receive his glory. I tell you the truth, a grain of wheat must fall to the ground and die to make many seeds. These Greek people just wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus announces to them that they're just at this pivotal moment in time. The time has come for him to be glorified. It's a very special moment. But, and there always seems to be a but, doesn't there, sometimes? I was saying to Debbie that this summer is a bit different than usual. Do you agree? A lot different, yeah. I associate summers with holiday time, relaxation, enjoying the long days, laughter, the beach, sunshine, spending a lot of time outdoors. But this summer seems a bit of a chore, doesn't it, sometimes? It has done. Something perhaps to be endured. And David and I don't know where David is. David and I were talking last week just outside of the hall here, standing in the blazing sun, to a guy with a dog. And he was telling us that he wasn't expecting his lawn to recover with this heat wave. He had written it off. And I saw, and you may have seen in the news about the fires in the New Forest, in the Midlands, in Europe. Devastating homes, devastating habitats. What on earth is happening in our world? And we see in this passage that Jesus is troubled. He's troubled about what is about to come. He knows. He knows what's around the corner. Something special is happening. This is all necessary and significant. And he says this, he says a grain of wheat must fall to the ground and die for there to be a harvest. I was reading about the Yellowstone National Park in the summer of 1988. Do anyone remember 1988? And there was a devastating fire that spread across the Yellowstone National Park, nearly 500,000 hectares, affecting many plants, people, plants and animals. Devastating. And it seemed devastating. It would seem that Yellowstone would never, ever be recover again. It wouldn't be the same again. But out of that fire, out of the ashes, and we were singing that this morning, weren't we, in one of our songs, The Ashes. New life comes. A new life comes. And foresters, we've got Bill Forrester here today, pointed that the lodgepole pine tree has cones on it that only open up when the heat, in extreme heat, to release the seeds. And as the fire had cleared the way, new growth flourished. New trees grew, and new life was born out of the ashes. Isn't that wonderful? There's a picture there, isn't there? A grain of wheat must fall to the ground and die. And Jesus is saying here in this passage that he must die. He had to die. Many. And verse 24, it gives us a warning. And it's a lesson to us that we must not live our present lives, our earthly lives, so much that we miss this greater life that he has for us, this eternal life. And it's a very distressing moment for Jesus as he realizes what's ahead. He's deeply troubled. And he reflects in this passage and he asks himself, he says, Father, shall I say, Father, save me from this time? But he's resolute, isn't he? He's resolute. No, this is the reason I am here. I came to suffer. So instead he declares, Father, bring glory to your name. Bring glory to your name. And there's a sound like thunder, an acknowledgement in the heavens, a sign that all as Jesus is doing is for the glory of God. It's acknowledged. And likewise, as his disciples, as we go through hardship, as we go through hard times in our lives, and we go through good, we go through good times, don't we? And we go through bad times. But our lives are now his. Our lives are for his glory. Yeah? Verse 31, it says, Jesus says, now is the time for the world to be judged. Now the rule of this world will be thrown down. And he was talking, of course, about Satan, the devil who had been working evil in the world right from the start. And Jesus was prophesying of what was shortly about to come to pass, a judgment for sin. And a disarming of Satan. And all this was about to happen through Jesus and his sacrificial death on the cross. And he says he will be lifted up from the earth and all will be drawn to him. Isn't that wonderful? Who here has never seen a cross? Who's never seen the cross of Jesus? We're all drawn to the cross of Jesus, aren't we? The symbol has been handed down from generation to generation. And we see the cross of Jesus as a testimony. We had testimonies this morning. This is a testimony, a sign of God's love for us. Jesus was lifted up and crucified for us. Do you remember the story of the crucifixion? That wooden cross that Jesus was hung on was not made for Jesus. It was made for a criminal named Barabbas. And Pilate, the Roman governor, could find no wrong in Jesus. He wanted to let him go, really. And he couldn't understand why the Jewish leaders wanted to kill him. And it almost seems like he was running out of ideas. And he puts the final decision in the hands of the crowd. And he tries to almost appeal to their good nature. Not the right crowd, I don't think. Come on, it's Passover festival. You can choose which prisoner goes free. And they say, give us Barabbas. Give us that Barabbas. And what about Jesus? What about Jesus? What about the King of the Jews that was so invited so warmly on Palm Sunday? Crucify him, they cried. Crucify him. And Jesus, Son of God, a sinless man, was crucified in the place of sinful man. Devastating news. And that should have been the end of the story. Darkness came over all the land. Just like the eclipse we've had. But for 3 hours, the sun didn't shine. But we know the truth. Jesus told us the truth before he went to the cross. He said that the good seed must die so that we might live through him. He willingly sacrificed himself so that we can have new life. Praise God. Are you following this? This is the Gospel of John. This is the good news told by John. A good man might perhaps lay down his life for a friend, it says. But who would willingly die for a sinful man? Jesus is not just a good man. Jesus is the sinless Son of God. Jesus willingly laid down his life for all mankind. He took our sin. He took all the sins of the world, from Adam's first sin to our sins. And he paid the price for it all. He gave his life so that we could go free. It's time for the world to be judged, said Jesus. And then he took our place on the cross. He took our place. He took man's place. You see, the wages of sin is death. It was necessary for a sacrifice to be made to pay for the sin. All have sinned. I've sinned. And I've fallen short of the glory of God. You know, there's not one righteous. You know, we look around and we see good people, don't we? But there's not one righteous that can escape the judgment of God. There's not one that measures up to God's holy standard. Our only hope is in Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world, it says in this passage. In a world of darkness, he is the light. So Jesus took his sins, our sins, upon himself and died a cruel death on that cross to purchase our freedom. And as Jesus hung and he died on the cross, the sky went dark. The temple, a huge curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the outer courts, was ripped in two from top to bottom. And to all onlookers, this looked to be an absolute disaster. But in the heavenlies, this was a victory. Sin's curse had been broken. There is no more for God to be separated from man. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the tomb. He was seen by over 500 people. He ate with his disciples and he ascended later into heaven. His mission accomplished. He's raised victorious. Not only did he pay the penalty for man's sin, he demonstrated his victory and authority over everything that takes us captive. And we've been encouraged this morning, haven't we, to lay down those things that we've been that's hold us captive, to give that to Jesus. Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, demonstrating his authority, his divine nature. But this was something far greater. His own resurrection from the dead demonstrates his power to break the curse of sin and death. He is the door to heaven itself. He holds the keys of death and Hades. Revelation 1:18 gives us a glimpse of this. He says, "I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Isn't that wonderful? So as you observe the season we are in and wonder, is it ever going to rain again? And as you wonder, is there any hope for my lawn? You may also have concerns about the end of what is to come. How does all of this end up? To die for just a good man and an everlasting Christ, the natural look for regenerate with you. This is the invite that we see with him. Morning. We're talking about Jesus, number two, asking that all saved. And we can increase the beauty in our life. Don't follow, but yourself. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Andy. That was a beautiful sermon. I'm going to end the meeting now, but as has been said, if anyone wants to know more about Jesus, then come and see one of us later on. Or if anyone wants prayer for anything, come forward, or you can have prayer where you are. Just let us know and we'll pray for you. I'm going to end with, and also, don't leave, stay behind, have fellowship with each other, tea, coffee, biscuits. I'm going to end with Paul's words again. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Oh.